Support for Millennial comes from Squarespace. Start building your website today at squarespace.com. Enter offer code Millennial, two L's, two N's at checkout to get 10% off your first purchase. When I graduated, I didn't know how to send an invoice. I didn't know anything about budgeting for taxes or yearly expenses or how to keep track of my cash flow so I wasn't spending more than I have. When you're starting a small business or becoming a freelancer for the first time, you need to know these things. That's how you're going to survive. FreshBooks wants to help you survive. They want to help you make invoices, track your cash flow, and keep track of the people who have paid you and who have not. You definitely want to know that. They also have an app, so your toolkit can live right in your pocket. If you're curious, there's nothing to lose. You can try it for free. Go to freshbooks.com/millennial, two L's, two N's, and support the show by telling them how you heard about it.
I have these little earplug jobbers.
This is my mom.
Earplug jobbers are good.
All right, plugging in.
Nothing changes.
I'm calling her up because I want to ask her a question I've been thinking about a lot. What would you have done if I moved back home with you?
I mean, I'm not living in the same living place, as you know. I'm like in a, you know, single room apartment.
I've never asked my mom this question, mostly because I haven't had to. When I graduated from college, I came home for a few weeks and then moved right in with my boyfriend. But that's not the case for many people my age.
Ben, that's one. Hannah, two. Devin, three.
I know a lot of people who've moved back home.
Christina Murphy. Malik. Julianne. Micah.
Siri, how many millennials live with their parents?
Let me check on that. Okay, I found this on the web for how many millennials live with their parents. 32.1% of adults age 18 to 34 were living with their parents.
32%. Siri, would you ever move back home with your parents?
I can't answer that. This is about you, not me.
I can't believe she said that. When I think about my friends living with their parents, I see them differently. I immediately crinkle up my nose and a skeptical look washes over my face. I can't help but feel a little judgmental about this. In my mind, becoming an adult happens outside of your childhood bedroom when your parents aren't there to protect you. But what really makes you an adult? Can you continue to grow into an adult while you're living with your parents? You're listening to Millennial, a podcast about coming of age and maneuvering your 20s. In this episode, I'm going to talk to two families who have daughters who have returned to the nest. Each family has taken a dramatically different approach to parenting and has changed my perceptions of what it means to live at home as an adult. Parenting, in a lot of ways, is just as confusing as being in your 20s. Is this your childhood room?
Yeah.
Can you show me a little bit? Because it looks great.
Yeah. So here's my little collection of like Lisa Frank stuff. I have some art from like my friends who are artists.
Hannah's 27, but I would have never have guessed it. She has sunflower yellow hair, big trendy glasses, and a few nose rings. And her surroundings don't really match her age.
Little butterflies, my Care Bear mountain.
Oh my gosh.
It's very precariously placed up there. I have a lot of jewelry and stuff.
Hannah's room matches her Care Bear mountain. Everything is bright and kind of magical. Even though Hannah's bedroom looks like her childhood room hasn't changed, when you look her up online, it makes sense. For the last year, she's been running an online Etsy vintage shop that sells 60s style dresses, 80s style bathing suits, and Lisa Frank memo pads. She moved back home to her parents' house in a town outside of Baltimore after living on her own for 7 years. She needed space from the person she was dating, and after getting fired from her job, she saw it as an opportunity to ask herself what she wanted to do with her life. 1,000 miles from Hannah in a small town in Missouri is Ashley.
And that is kind of what inspired me to send you an email. And I know it was kind of rambly because I'm not a writer and I just kind of like word vomit everywhere.
Ashley is 25 and is honest, direct, and quick to make a self-deprecating joke. Even though she tends to poke fun at herself, as we talk, I realize how sharp and funny she is.
It's like the elephant in the room. Everybody knows it's there, but nobody wants to talk about it. Like, everybody knows Ashley still lives in the basement, but nobody wants to ask her when she's going to move out.
Ashley moved in with her parents after graduating college. She was broke and sending job applications all over the country. Finally, she nailed one down in her hometown at the state public health laboratory. So she moved into her parents' basement with a plan that she was going to move out. I don't ask Ashley to show me around her room because there isn't much to see. Her walls are crisp and clean and her furniture looks new.
Giant mirror that I have to like move around the room because it's like everything.
Back in the town outside of Baltimore, I ask Hannah. When you first called your parents up on the phone and told them you were going to come home, what was their reaction?
Just said, come over. We're here. You know, bring whatever you need to do and we'll help you with the rest.
And my dad said, okay. I know that's not very exciting, but he said, okay, we'll make it work. You know.
After talking to both Ashley and Hannah after a few minutes, I realize I've already heard this story from my own friends who have moved back in with their parents. To them, it's always, oh yeah, my parents are fine with it, but I wonder sometimes if this is true. I wonder how their parents really feel. Is your mom or dad around?
Yeah, they're in their room. Mom and Papa. What are you guys doing?
Hi.
Hello, how are you?
Good, how are you? Are you Stan?
Hi. There it is.
This is Ashley's dad and stepmom. When they sit down, it feels like we're on a business conference call. They're concise with their sentences and they're direct. That is, until we run into technical difficulties.
Hold on, he turned down our volume.
Okay.
Okay.
He broke the volume.
Hold on, I broke the volume.
As they fumble through Skype, I feel like I'm witnessing a scene that I've experienced with my own mother.
Hi, I'm Megan.
Larry Edelstein.
Hannah's dad is pretty relaxed. Skype shut down a couple of times, and each time he didn't express any kind of frustration. He's got that kind of chill hippie vibe going for him.
My mom's behind.
Hi, Mom.
Hi, Megan. I'm Paula Cornish. How are you?
This is Hannah's mom. She doesn't look anything like Hannah, meaning no nose rings or yellow hair, but her personality seems to be just as bright and honest.
Wait a minute. Sorry, the cat's attacking me. Hannah. Thank you, dear. See, I still sound like a mother, though, don't I?
So here we have two sets of parents. In the Baltimore area, you have Larry and Paula, who are Hannah's parents, and outside of Missouri is Stan and Lisa, Ashley's folks. When I sit down with Ashley's family, I ask them to start at the beginning. Back when she told them she was first coming home.
Was it your idea to have her come? You were like, of course you can come.
Yeah.
Yes.
But outside of Baltimore in Hannah's house, remember the one with the Care Bear Mountain? Her parents weren't as excited when Hannah announced she was coming home.
So what was your initial reaction when Hannah said that she was going to move back in? Why? Oh.
We had actually been empty nesters for, I think, 3 weeks at that time. And it was really fun. Like, it was great. Now, Larry may not think so, but I loved it. I mean, it was just so nice because there was no one in the house but us. You could have sex wherever you want, whenever you want. You know, just having her come back home was like, oh my gosh, that didn't last very long.
But eventually, Hannah's family adjusted to having their 27-year-old back in the house.
It's been a positive experience for her being home, and it's been a positive experience for me also.
She's funny as hell.
She's vegan. I'm eating a lot less meat.
She's brilliantly artistic.
I'm drinking more water and less soda. You know, I also, you know, having her here, I watch a lot more cute animal videos.
And she shows us the cute cat videos, which is really very fun.
Which I'm not sure, I'm still on the fence whether that's a positive influence or not.
Back in Missouri, even though Ashley's parents appreciated having her back in the house, they were very clear that it wasn't going to be a permanent thing.
We made it clear that she was not moving home forever. And
how did you make that clear?
We've always been very open with our kids. It's going to be less than a year.
When did you have that conversation with her?
Actually, before she moved in.
My stepmom was pretty clear about, like, okay, September's coming around the corner. What are you doing? You know.
But with Hannah's family, how long she lived there was more open-ended.
It wasn't even a discussion of how long are you going to be here for, or what's your plan. It was just come home, we'll go from there.
Not having a defined time of departure makes me queasy. I can feel my stomach churning right now, only because I've seen friends of mine move back in with their families, and then time wakes them up 2 years later, and they're still there. When there isn't a graduation party or the start of a semester to force you into transition, I imagine it's hard to leave a comfortable, rent-free situation. Ashley knows that feeling.
And I feel like there's always kind of a fear that you'll get stuck and comfortable if you move back home with your parents, because it is familiar and, you know, they cook well and some parents don't require you to pay rent.
And Hannah thinks about it too.
You know, I've been at home now for almost 2 years and it's gone by really quick. I am maybe too comfortable being back home, but I don't know if that's a bad thing.
And maybe she's right. Maybe it's not a bad thing, and I'm just overanalyzing it. But in Missouri, Ashley's family has strong feelings about it.
And letting them get too comfortable in your house as an adult is not good.
This is Hannah's family again.
Sometimes I'm a little too easy a touch when it comes to saying, okay, I'll get this, you know, I'll cover this.
You know, we pay for the repairs and the insurance and all that stuff. We pay for everything, but it doesn't matter. She's part of our family.
For Ashley's family in Missouri, sometimes love comes in the form of tough love.
We actually made a contract with her stating you're going to go to work full time, or go to school full time, or do both part time. You're just not going to move home, and that's it.
If you say you're trying to save money, but you know there's an Amazon box sitting at the door every other day, where's the saving happening? Where's
the progress?
Where's the progress happening? You know.
So you start charging them rent. You start charging them for food. You say, I want to see your budget. I want to know what your expenses are. I want to know this. I'm going to get you prepared to live out in the world. The real world has rent. The real world has insurance. The real world has phone bill. The real world has this. We're going to start you.
And, so it's almost like they will either get themselves out of your house, and if they don't, you will make sure they get themselves out of their house, your house.
You prod them along.
Yeah.
You prod them along to the point that they're like, oh, I could be doing this out on my own. Absolutely. You could. We want you to be a great adult out there.
I can't say that there's not a part of me that at times says, gee, I wish she had a 9-to-5 job with good benefits and, you know, health insurance. But we also know that's not who Hannah is. And she did that for a while, you know, sort of 9-to-5 job, and she was miserable.
I mean, I'll just be honest with you. I mean, adulthood sucks. And if you don't have some fight in you to stay with it, I mean, it's easy to curl up and die. And I see too many of my contemporaries my age letting their kids turn around and die. It's like they need a boot in the butt.
At this point in the conversation, I'm nodding my head in agreement with Ashley's family. I do believe in the boot in the butt. And I think this is how we become adults. Do you ever feel like you need to cut the cord then?
The cord has been cut. And I mean, I don't know what way, like, financial cord, you mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Financially, she's part of our family. So it's just like sending money to my mother when she was alive. I would never not send money because it's a family. You take care of your family, don't you think?
I trail off and give her a non-answer because inside I'm thinking, but what if you're supporting your adult child too much at the point where you're not teaching them to take care of themselves? There is a threshold, right?
Do you guys remember, I guess, with either of them where you had to have that tough conversation of like, all right, when are you moving out? You know?
For Ashley's parents, those lines are clear.
Because I just want to know, like, what does that conversation beforehand look like between you two when you're, like you're just looking over and you're like...
And you see them spinning their wheels, you know? And that's what the conversations that we had. We see that she's spinning her wheels.
I think the conversation starts out with us laying in bed late at night and somebody saying, when's Jackie moving out? Or when's Ashley moving out or something? And the other parent saying, I don't know.
I don't know.
Well, we need to ask. And our goal is not just to give the child the boot.
No,
you know?
No, by no means.
But our perspective is you came into the house with these circumstances and you want to fix these circumstances. And so once these circumstances are fixed, we expect that
next step.
You'll move on. And it's not so much, you know, get out of my house, but, you know.
I love you.
You're ready.
I don't think she'll ever move out.
Why do you say that?
Oh, because it's comfortable here. And I don't know that her business...
Hannah's online vintage clothing business.
I don't know that it'll be successful, but I want her to keep trying it. I said to her, you keep doing your business. You keep doing your business. Don't go to work.
Why? Why do you say that?
Because I want her to be happy.
At the sacrifice of possibly staying at your house?
Yeah.
Why? I can't stop asking why. I just don't get it. Don't all parents want their children to move out of their house at some point in their life?
Because she's my daughter.
No, this is just so interesting because I've never heard it in this kind of way before, you know?
And what, like, do you mean?
Well, like, don't go to work, stay at our house, eat our food, and don't pay for rent. And we're okay with that. But of course, that's not what I said to her mom. Like, wanting your child to be fulfilled and happy and how that is more value than them necessarily being on their own.
Absolutely. Because, she's on her own already. I mean, we don't control what she does. That's one thing I think we've been very good at, is we respect her boundaries.
Essentially, like, it seems like you've come to terms with the fact that Hannah may not move out, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and
I mean, we may move out before she does.
Well, and I guess I wanted to ask you, like, how does that make you feel?
Fine. I mean, it's, you know, if it had been difficult, it would be one thing, but it's not different. It has not been difficult.
And this is a, you know, self-interest or selfish thing, is that I don't know how great I'm going to be if none of my kids are at home. Hannah's really the only, is the last child at home. And if she leaves, I'll be the only one at home. And I have to fill my day and occupy myself and find things to do. I mean, I'm in transition too.
I often forget that as we grow up, our parents are forced to grow up as well. When I think about my friends living with their parents, it never occurred to me that they both may want to be there. Maybe for them, there's a comfort and even a strength that comes from staying together. For Ashley and her family, becoming an adult means living on your own. And for Hannah's family, it means finding something that you love and doing it passionately, whether you're in your childhood room or not. And both women are doing that. A few months ago, Ashley moved out of her parents' house and into her own apartment.
It was a little sad when they left, too, because it was like the end of another era, in a sense, you know? Like, I was, like, out of the nest. But it's like they didn't push me out of the nest. We, like, willingly left together.
And Hannah is continuing to build her online business beneath her childhood Care Bear mountain.
If I can keep growing my business to a point where it's bringing me a steady income like a job would, then I would feel comfortable leaving and starting this next phase of living by myself and running this business.
From what I can tell, both Hannah and Ashley are doing well, and they're making their parents proud, each in the distinct way they were raised. Becoming an adult isn't about what roof you're under. There are more layers besides your location and your responsibilities. A change of address is just that. It doesn't necessarily mean you're growing up, just like staying at home doesn't mean you're not. If I'm honest with myself, I have to admit that if I hadn't moved in with my boyfriend Ben right after college, I would have moved in with my family. And maybe, like Hannah, I would be making this podcast or doing something else that I love inside of my childhood room.
Growing up is hard.
It's very hard. It's very hard.
As I'm talking on the phone with my mom about what it means to be an adult, there are things that I still have to face.
Oh, that makes me realize that I can take over my cell phone bill now.
So, oh, you can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can pay for my cell phone now. I'm an adult. I can pay for my cell
phone. I know, that's like really hard for me to fathom sometimes.
And things that she has to face as well. Editing for this episode was provided by Devin Taylor and Ben Severance, with extra production by Devin Taylor. The voices you heard in this piece were my mom, Susan Chan.
Hi, I'm Hannah Edelstein.
Larry Edelstein.
Paula Cornish.
It's Ashley Keeley.
My name's Stanley, and this is Lisa Keeley.
To keep tabs on Millennial, follow us on Twitter at MillennialPDCST, like podcasts without the vowels. On Facebook, on Instagram, and if you want to give Millennial a high five, rate us on iTunes. Also, if you want to know when the next show is going to drop, go to millennialpodcast.org, scroll down to the bottom, and sign up for the newsletter. I'm Megan Tan, and thanks for listening. Thanks again to Squarespace for supporting the show. Squarespace, share your ideas with the world by making a blog, portfolio, or online store. Start building your website today at squarespace.com. Enter offer code MILLENNIAL, 2 L's, 2 N's, at checkout to get 10% off your first purchase. Criminal tells true stories from many different points of view. People who've committed crimes, people who have been victims of crimes, and people like Brian Stevenson, who spent the last 30 years working to get people off of death row.
I mean, it's easy to be just to people you like, people you favor. It's easy to be compassionate toward people who you have a lot of respect for. But it's not really mercy if you give it to the people who deserve it. Mercy is mercy when it's given to the undeserving. And so I've never met anybody about whom I should say, oh, no, they can't get mercy. They don't deserve it. That's what mercy is about.
Check out Criminal's episode, Just Mercy. You can find it at thisiscriminal.com or by searching for Criminal on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts.
Radiotopia from PRX.
Thanks for listening. And thanks to AdZerk for providing their ad serving platform to Radiotopia.